The Giants made their way out to the Midwest for a Chi-Town showdown with the Chicago Cubs. And when it was all said and done, the Giants left Wrigley flying the W. And we're going to talk about it all right here for you. I'm your host, Darius Lott, and this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King.
From high, it's a deep!
Your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants.
And there's a shot deep right field by Crawford. Adios! Pelota!
And now, here's your host, Darius Lott.
Yeah!
Man, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. The Giants, like I said at the top, came through and took 2 out of 3 for the Chicago Cubs in Chicago, no less. You know, it's a very tough place to play. And the Giants, you know, after dropping the first game, managed to come back and win the next two. Welcome back to the show, you guys. I'm your host, Darius Lott. And yeah, today we're going to talk about this Cubs series and where, you know, break it down game by game and where that leaves the Giants right now, because they're sitting pretty good right now, you know, at 24-14, 10 games over 500, you know, continuing this really good start to the 2025 season. But yeah, we're going to get into it. We'll start with a game that didn't go so well for the Giants. Game one of this series, the Giants got absolutely mollywopped by the Cubs, and it was in part due to some unforced self-infliction on their part. 4 errors committed by the left side of the Giants infield, two errors apiece for Matt Chapman and Willie Adames, our $333 million left side of the infield committed 4 errors, and the Cubs would go on to score 9 runs, and only 3 of them were earned. So yeah, that was one of those games, you know, you talk about, you just want to wipe it, you know, you want to just forget that it ever happened. Landon Roop, he went, you know, he wasn't particularly sharp in this one, but he also had to navigate through a lot of traffic on the base pass. Like I said, defense didn't help him in the least in this game. He ends up going 5 innings, gives up 5 hits. He does give up 4 runs, but only 2 of them are earned due to the bad fielding. No walks, 4 Ks. And then even Birdsong, he only went a third of an inning, only recording one out. He only gave up 2 hits, but 5 runs crossed the plate on him, and only one of those were earned. So again, just some rough luck there. Bivens went 2 2/3 scoreless, only allowed 2 hits, a walk, and a strikeout. So, but you know, as bad as it was on the pitching and the defensive front, the offense wasn't much better in game one. They were held down, only managing a measly 1-for-3 with runners in scoring position, you know, so only one hit, you know, in that type of situation, and they only had 3 chances, so they didn't even really force the issue. There's not a lot of really, like, great offensive standouts in that game. I did cite Luis Matos, you know, he hit a home run, and he played it with his home run. It's a 2-run shot. I believe that's his 2nd or 3rd of the year. And his reward was he got benched for the final 2 games of this series. So go figure that. I don't understand that in the least. So yeah. But you know, as bad as that game was for the Giants, and believe me, it was terrible, they did respond and they won the next 2 games. The Giants would follow up that crushing 9-2 loss with a thrilling 14-5 win in extras in 11 innings. And it almost didn't even happen, because the Giants, you know, they started off well in this game. They got out to an early lead. They played it some runs early. Jung-Hoo Lee followed it up with a big two-run homer. They opened it up. They ended up going up as far as much as four runs. It was 4-0. Then the Cubs started to claw back. It was 4-2, then 5-2, then 5-3. And it remained 5-3 up until the ninth. And Brian Walker, he came in for the ninth. And yeah, things kind of like the same way that they have been going back to that game in Anaheim against the Angels. It just unraveled on them. And out of nowhere, rather, your 5-3 lead is now a 5-5 tie. And Verlander, who I thought pitched pretty, you know, decent, he was solid enough, and he definitely gave you a shot to win. Again, he's left searching for his first Giants win, his first win of the season, and he definitely pitched well enough to get it. But once again, the bullpen gives away a potential win for JV. Sadly, he went 5 innings, 5 hits, allowed 3 runs, 2 walks, 3 Ks, and he allowed the 1 home run. But I think that was Amaya that hit the home run off of him. But overall, I thought he did, you know, well enough to get the decision. And that's been the case so far this year, at least for Verlander, especially in his more recent starts. He pitches well. He does, you know, just enough to keep the Giants in it, or have them, you know, when he leaves the game, they at most have the lead. And then this is, what, the third time the bullpen's imploded? The second time that Walker imploded and, you know, cost him a potential win, you know? And the other time was Tyler Rogers, but hopefully they can get that corrected when JV's on the mound, because, you know, even though he doesn't seem like the type to really care too much about his own stats over the team's overall success, it would be a bit frustrating, I imagine. You know, you put your heart and soul out there and you end up not coming away with the win there. So hopefully that turns around. But the bullpen as a whole, prior to Walker's implosion, pitched 3 scoreless innings with only 1 hit allowed. Randy Rodriguez had a scoreless inning, so did Camilo Duvall, as well as Tyler Rogers, before that disastrous ninth inning, you know, by Ryan Walker. Yeah, man, I guess I'll talk more about Walker here. He just super wild, zero command, more so zero command with his slider. The sinker still has, like, he can dot that and throw it for strikes as much as he wants, but it looked like he was really fighting the slider. There was a lot of just big misses, non-competitive pitches with that slider of his. So yeah, and Bomell removed him before he even had a chance to try and finish the game out and see if he can convert the save. Yeah, but he was all over the place. He walked 2 batters. He walked PCA, and then he walked Carson Kelly. And both of them come around to score to tie the game. And just an interesting note, when I was looking at Walker's stats, his FIP is 2.35, which suggests that he's pitched better than what his ERA shows. But regardless, it's not been good enough for the Giants and helping them win ball games, you know. So yeah, maybe a good sign, but at the same time, you hope that he, you know, starts to turn it around, because even if he's not out there closing games for the Giants, he's very valuable to them in that bullpen at the back end. So a confident, you know, Ryan Walker is what they need at the back of that bullpen. So again, hoping these struggles won't continue. We're going to talk a bit more about Walker because he would turn up again. Eric Miller came in with two outs in the ninth to try and wrap it up for Bob Melvin after he lifted Walker. And he gave up the game tying hit on the first pitch to Kyle Tucker. I don't know why I blanked on his name there for a second. But yeah, it was middle, but it wasn't like, it was like down around the knees. Not a bad pitch, at least by my estimation, but it's Kyle Tucker, and you know, he just came through there. You gotta just tip your cap there. But what's important is that even though Eric Miller gave up the hit to tie the game, it wasn't his runner anyway, he got out of the inning and he made sure to keep the game tied. So he pitched an inning and a third, and you know, he gave up the hit, but other than that, he was pretty much, he was excellent, I think, in his relief appearance. And he was excellent in the series, actually not in the series, in this season so far. He's been excellent for the Giants when he goes out there. So yeah, the game's tied. The balloon, the air's been let out of the balloon. Giants fans are absolutely irate. I know I was too. I couldn't believe that we let this game go, especially after the way the prior night's game went. So I was like really hoping for a win to even the series, you know, and have a chance to take the series the following day. So, and then it didn't look any better in the 10th because the Giants failed to score their ghost runner, their Manfred man, as I like to call it. You know, so I was like, it felt like one of those Giants losses, one of those signature Giants losses that we have kind of came accustomed to, especially in the Farhan Zaidi era. Like, they just felt like a loss. You give up the lead and then you don't score in extras when you had a free runner. Game's over. That's it. So they failed to score their ghost runner in the 10th, and then they just erupt in the 11th with 9 runs. I did not misspeak. They scored 9 runs in the top of the 11th inning at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. They scored a total of 14 runs on 16 hits, going a whopping 7 for 13 with runners in scoring position, while holding the Cubs to 3 of 13 with runners in scoring position. And there was a lot of history that came with that big offensive explosion in that 11th inning. Their 9 runs in the 11th inning on Tuesday at Wrigley, matching the 5th largest margin of victory in an extra inning game in the last 125 seasons at +9. That was according to Sarah Langs. +9. So like, you, of all the years that, you know, data and, you know, stats have been recorded in this game of baseball, the Giants big 9 run inning ranks 5th in terms of margin of victory. That's kind of crazy to think about. And that wasn't the only stat. Not only that, it is tied for the highest scoring 11th inning since 1900. The last team to score 9 runs in the 11th was the Padres on June 28th, 1994. And the 9 runs are the most scored in an extra inning game at Wrigley Field ever. Like, and you think about how long Wrigley Field's been around. So yeah, just what looked like, you know, a surefire win that turned into a potential bone-crushing loss, then turned into one of the big signature blowout laugher games of the year. So yeah, kind of crazy how that all turned around. And yeah, the guys went off in this game. Elliot Ramos, 4 for 5, 2 doubles, 2 RBIs. He hit 2 of his doubles in that 11th inning. Which is crazy. They were saying double-double, you know, a little in and out reference for you. Yeah, he had a really good game. Jung-Hoo Lee, I mentioned his home run earlier. He hit his 4th of the year, you know, and then he also had a hit in that 11th inning as well. He played it 3 in this game. He was excellent. Scored 2 runs as well. Matt Chapman, he went 3 for 5, a double, a walk, 2 RBIs, scored 2 times. So yeah, the Giants went hog wild there at the end and pulled out this win, man. And they needed it after the way things went on Monday. And after they were done, they were finally done scoring. They were finally done doing the conga line, like Looney Tunes cartoon. I'm sure you've all seen it, where they're just, you know, marching around the bases. That's basically what was happening in that inning. The Giants still needed to close the game out, and they turned to Kyle Harrison, who made his 2025 debut and pitched a scoreless bottom of the 11th to end the game. Didn't allow a hit or a walk, and he struck out 2. And what was encouraging, his fastball topped out at 97, which is good because, you know, we've seen at points his velocity kind of go up and down. So to see him consistently pumping out 97 like that, hopefully that's a sign of things to come. He's been working really hard down in Sacramento, having some good outings. So yeah, very happy to have Kyle back on the big league roster. It looks like right now he'll just be the second lefty in the pen along with Eric Miller, but we'll see. Maybe he gets a more important role, I'm not sure. Otherwise, he's probably just like in the Bird Song role this time, just as a lefty. I would like to see him get some, you know, some outings, you know, like some starts. Same thing with Birdsong. These are two guys that I still feel very confident can be big pieces of this rotation in the future. So, but we won't know unless, you know, they get that chance. But so far, so good. We'll wait on that. And I'm sure that I could rant on that, you know, about y'all know how I feel about Birdsong not being in the rotation. I don't think that goes without saying, but we're not here for that. We'll save that for another day, potentially. But so yeah, the series is even. Cubs took the first game, Giants take the second game, and then game 3, the Giants win a rather unconventional game, to say the least. On a day where the wind was blowing in at Wrigley like it was candlestick, the offense was going to be hard to come by. And after the gauntlet that they played the prior day, they needed length from their starter, Robbie Ray. And Robbie gave it to him. He grunted his way through 6 innings of 1-run ball, going 6, only allowing 3 hits, 1 earned run. 2 walks and 5 strikeouts. He gave you what you needed. You know, he shortened the game after it was all hands on deck the night prior. Like, Bob Melvin practically used everybody who was available in last night's game just to get that win. So Robbie going 6 was huge, and he didn't look great, but he didn't look bad either. Like, He looked a bit more aggressive. He was attacking a bit more. And he's been looking that way his last few starts. You know, one of the things I was concerned with is him not attacking the zone as much and kind of like nibbling and just not challenging guys. And if you guys remember, before the season started during spring, one of the things that pitching coach JP Martinez preached was, we are going to throw strikes. Like, that is the thing. You know, we're going to try to limit walks, because in the past, we've seen what happens. You walk guys, they come around and score more often than not. They can haunt you, especially in a place like Wrigley Field, you know. And he did walk too, but he was able to settle in, clutch up, and get out of those jams. The only run he allowed was a weird double off the bat of Pete Crow Armstrong that took Ramos on a wild ride. With the wind, it was like swirling and pushing the ball every other direction. He initially broke back, and then he, you know, casually like broke in, and then he realized he had to get on his horse, and by then he couldn't make up the ground, and the ball dropped and the run scored, and PCA was at second. But he was able to work through that, and then Robbie Ray didn't let it faze him. He got through it. He gave the Giants exactly what they needed today, and you can't say enough good things about that. And the bullpen again today, they were excellent. 3 scoreless innings. Duvall, fantastic. Rogers, fantastic. Now, this is where it got a little dicey, or I was a little nervous, because Duvall pitched a clean 7th. I think he only allowed one hit, like one base runner. He walked a guy. And then Rogers had a clean inning in the 8th. And then it's like, oh my goodness. That mean, don't tell me that's the thought that was going through my mind. Ryan Walker gets the 9th. There he was warming up, you know, right before the bottom of the 9th, and I was nervous. I was like, oh no, please, we got away with one the night before, can we not? But Bomel put his faith in his guy. He put his faith in Ryan Walker again. And he gave him the 9th. And it didn't look good to start, because Carson Kelly hit a leadoff single. So, like, already the tying run is at the plate. And this is just, like, nightmare fuel for the Giants. Not only is the tying run coming up to the plate, but it's Justin Turner, infamous Dodger, longtime Dodger, absolutely hated by Giants fans for years. They can't stand this guy. And I was at a game a few years ago when he was on the Boston Red Sox, and he came up with a base hit that tied that game. And it was just, and the fans were just livid and irate. They couldn't stand the mere sight of Justin Turner. Makes our blood boil. Can't stand this dude. Anyway. But yeah, Carson Kelly gets on. Justin Turner's coming up. He represents the tying run. And Ryan Walker falls behind Justin Turner. The count is 2-1. So it's like already a big pitch is coming up right here. 2-1. But he clutches up. He gets Turner to roll over on one. He grounds into a 6-4-3 double play, getting too much needed outs right there. And then just like that, boom, threat gone, stress gone. And then he gets Nico Horner to ground out to Chapman, and the Giants walk away with the win. So boom, just like that. And then you just hope that Bomel having confidence to put him out there again in the 9th, and then him facing some adversity with the leadoff man getting on, facing the potential tying run at the plate, getting him to ground into a double play, and then getting the final out. You hope that rejuvenates him, you know, hope that galvanizes him and gets him back in the right mind space, because it feels like a lot, even though it, you know, with the slider I mentioned, you know, looks a little rough mechanically, I also think it's mental. And Ryan Walker hasn't been shy about sharing his mental struggles, or like his just his personal struggles with, you know, his mindset when it comes to being a big leaguer, playing in the big leagues. So I think this can do a lot to, well, I hope it does a lot to kind of change that, to kind of help his psyche. Because, like I said, he's a very important piece of this Giants bullpen puzzle, you know. And I feel like we're still at the point where we're still trying to find roles for guys in the bullpen. So, him being the closer, some kind of combination of Duvall and Rodgers being the setup man. You know, those are kind of it. But yeah, you kind of want to just know where guys fit in. And I think as we go on, we'll find out more. But yeah, Giants put up just enough runs to get the job done. Three had to do it today, and it did. Wilmer Flores got it starting. Who else? If don't nobody got us, Wilmer got us. And he got us going with a two-out RBI single to get the start, to get the scoring going at first. And then Lamont Wade Jr., who's been wearing it all season to start, he doubles in a run in the fourth, and that was 2-0. And then a little bit later, Christian Koss lined a single in the center field that scored a run. Wade was about to score. He was originally ruled safe, and then he was called out at home after a replay review. So boom, it was 3-0 Giants at that time, and they go on to win 3-1. Wilmer Flores went 3-for-4 with an RBI. Willie Adames 2-for-4 with a double and a walk. Wade went 2-for-4 with a double and an RBI, while Koss went 1-for-3 with his RBI and a walk as well. And with that, the Giants improved to 24-14, improving on their mark last season through 38 games by 2 wins. They were 22-16 through 38 games. But this stretch, this record feels a lot different because, I don't know, you feel confident with this team sometimes. Like, yeah, they're going to give you some heartache. You're going to find some torture here and there. Hell, we had it in this series, for God's sakes. Friggin', you know, there are times where you're going to want to pull your hair out and you're wondering, what are you even doing? But more often than not, when they go out there, I expect them to win. You know, and maybe that's a combination of how good the bullpen has been, how some starters like Justin Verlander and Robbie Ray, who had some shaky starts, are starting to find their way a little bit, and just the threat of what the Giants can do offensively. But I don't know, they feel different. Like, they feel like an actual team. They feel like a cohesive unit. And if one guy doesn't get the job done, you know, with runners on, you know somebody else is. Like, Brian Walker had a rough go in the second game. But you know that his teammate, you know, like Eric Miller is going to pick him up. You know, stuff like that. You know, and it builds team chemistry. It builds a bond. And it builds confidence. And when you do that, you know, that makes you a dangerous team. Not only that, the Giants are playing well on the road right now. Like, after today, they are 12-9 on the road this season. And not only that, they are 17-8 against teams with 500 records or better. So they're not just winning games, but they're winning games on the road, and they're winning games against formidable opponents. And that's big. And that should show you that, hey, this Giants team, there's something to them. You know, it's not just fluky wins over bad competition. Like, yeah, you took three of four from the Rockies. You're supposed to do that. But, you know, think about who they've played so far. They've had some pretty tough teams. You know, Seattle, I think, is a tough team. Houston, they may not be the team they once were, but, you know, they'll fight you. They'll fight you tooth and nail. They split with the Phillies. They took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, the defending American League champions. And then here, 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, who, if I'm not mistaken, are, like, at the top or near the top as far as offense is concerned in the majors this year. They're one of the best offenses in baseball. And they did that in Wrigley, which is not a very friendly environment for pitchers. Unless you count the third game. then it was like, it played like Oracle Park. But yeah, that's going to do it for this edition of Second and King. I'll probably join you guys sometime either during or maybe after the Giants' next series. They begin a new series Friday against the Minnesota Twins. They get an off day Thursday. The Twins are 16-20, so they've been kind of having a rough start to the year, so maybe the Giants could take advantage of that. Got Jordan Hicks lined up versus Bailey Ober on Friday in the first matchup. Webb back on the bump Saturday. He'll take on Chris Paddock. And Sunday, Landon Roop will go against Pablo Lopez. Oh, God, another lefty. He's a lefty, right? I'm pretty sure Pablo Lopez is a lefty. If he's not, then, oh, my goodness, then we might actually have a shot here. I actually feel... Oh, no, he's a righty. Okay. I think we're okay. The Giants will not see a right-handed... I mean, they won't see a left-handed pitcher in this series, thank God, because their record against lefties is abysmal. I think they're like, what are they now, like 2-8 against lefty starters this year? Just, oh, so bad, so bad. Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of Second and King. If you listen to this on YouTube, make sure you like the video. If you aren't subscribed, make sure you do that. For all my peoples on Apple Music and Spotify, make sure you leave a rating and review on the podcast. Definitely helps with our growth here. Thank you once again for tuning in. I'm your host, Darius Lott, and as always, go Giants!